Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday, October the 14th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Justine F., the 12 Traditions, Deanne F. Readers of the text are Dana P., and Jody E., and Vanessa G. Today we are reading, and we're still in the chapter, We Agnostics, on page 52, the fourth paragraph down at the bottom of the page, the Wright brothers' almost childish faith, through one paragraph ending with the Wrights would never fly. Comments on this one paragraph only. The share ID for yesterday's special edition, Sunday, October 13th, is 21,825. That's 21825. And for this morning's meeting, October the 14th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 21,826, 21826. And our newcomer greeter is Nick F., and our announcements person is Betsy H. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Justine F. to read 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Justine F. in Oregon, and I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic, and here are the steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Justine F. And now I will call upon Deanne F. to read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Deanne.
Hey, good morning, Mo. This is Deanne F. in New York, gratefully recovered and recovering for this day. And here are the 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality.
Thank you very much, Deanna from New York. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive eaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are in the chapter We Agnostics on page 52, the fourth paragraph down at the bottom of the page, the Wright Brothers' almost childish faith, and it ends at the top of page 53 with the Wrights would never fly. And I will now ask Dana P. to begin, get us started. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning, Mo. This is Dana Peterson. Oh, sorry, Dana P. I'm in California. welcome to all the newcomers, and great to have all my friends and fellows here on the line. I'll go ahead and start reading. The Wright brothers' almost childish faith that they could build a machine which could fly was the mainspring of their accomplishment. Without that, nothing could have happened. We agnostics and atheists were sticking to the idea that self-sufficiency would solve our problems. When others showed us that God's sufficiency worked with them, we began to feel like those who had insisted the Wrights would never fly. You know, it's amazing to me as I read through this, one of my favorite chapters here in the book, and one of my favorite paragraphs. Well, I would say that to every single one, to be honest with you. Bill was brilliant, with words, just brilliant in general. And what I realize, and it's another thing that I say about this book, is that it was really inspired by some higher power, some greater intelligence, if you will, because Bill didn't do this all by himself or with his own ideas. As it says in the paragraph above, you know, our ideas didn't work, but the God idea did. And I also want to kind of focus on this where he says the almost childlike faith. So he's not saying childlike or childish faith. He's not saying childish faith. He's saying almost. And essentially, you know, I think of childish as being sort of fantastical and magical and just kind of out there. But at the same time, I also feel that children are sort of more conscious of what's going on in the world around them and more conscious of what's going on inside them and that intuitive place. This paragraph's not talking about either self-sufficiency or God-sufficiency. It's really kind of talking about both. And I would refer to page 86 where he's talking about God directing our thinking and on awakening. Let us think about the 24 hours ahead and we consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance. For after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. And that's kind of how I look at this paragraph. You know, but first we go to that guidance, whether we call it God, higher power, divine mother, intuition, whatever we want to call it. It's some higher, or I've also heard it called, you know, my higher self. What is the direction from my higher self? And then we proceed with the activity, whatever that might be. So it's kind of like putting directions into the GPS. I've heard it said we let God drive our car. We put God in the driver's seat. That's not kind of the way it works in my impression or in my direction, what this book is saying. We set the GPS, or God sets the GPS, and we get in the driver's seat, and we follow the direction. So I have a prayer that I say every day and throughout my day. It's guide down my reason, will, and activity to the right path in everything. So I still have to act, but if I'm acting from that self-sufficiency and self-will, I always get myself into trouble. So I have to stop, pause, and listen to that inner guidance. And thank you so much. I'll pass.
Well, thank you very much, Dana P. from California, for getting us started. For those of you that just are coming on the line, we are in the chapter We Agnostics, page 52. the fourth paragraph down, the Wright brothers' almost childish faith through that one paragraph ending with the Wrights would never fly. And so, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So, who would like to share on this paragraph? I will take your names. All right, now.
This is Christy. I can share.
Okay, Christy, from where are you from?
Oregon. Christy D.
Okay.
From Oregon.
Christy D. from Oregon. All right, thank you.
Jocelyn W.
Jocelyn, what was your last initial? From BC. Okay, that's all I got.
Maria C.
Maria C. Where are you from, Maria?
California.
California. Okay, good. Now I have Christy D, Jocelyn, and Maria C. Anyone else want to get in this lineup? Okay, we'll go with those three. Everyone else mute your phone except Christy D. Good morning, Christy.
Hello, this is Christy, grateful recovering bulimic anorexic and overeater from Oregon. Thank you so much for everyone who's done service today. This is really, I guess, resonating with me because as I go along in my journey of recovery, I think what I've learned more and more is how much this idea of faith and just being able to, you know, give over and turn over my will to my higher power. And, you know, I do like this analogy of like a childlike faith. And when you think about, you know, I just had a new nephew born, you know, they have complete faith in their parents of like to be able to feed them and to survive. They have to, in a way, like have that complete faith in that parent that they're going to be provided for. And, you know, I guess over times when, you know, we've been hurt or, you know, life's done us an unfair turn in the way that we see it, it's, you know, we lose that trust. And then we start to think that, you know, we have to, it's like that we lose that parent-like trust, like a child has with their parent, with our higher power. And we start trying to run the show to avoid that pain. And, you know, unfortunately, that's just not, it's not realistic to have a pain-free life. And, you know, what I found is that trying to control life actually oftentimes creates more pain, because at the end of the day, the only thing we have control over is ourselves. We can't really control what other people do or the ways they hurt us. And really, like, the what I've learned, the crux of my recovery is that about that 24-hour reprieve is that, you know, I have to wake up every morning and make that decision to turn my life and will over to my higher power, you know, and I get that 24 hours ahead, and it doesn't store up for the day before that or the next week. And there's lots of times that even when I make that decision in the morning, you know, I take it back because something happens I don't like, and it's so subtle, you know, and that's my disease talking. It's my part of, like, the way my disease manifested is, like, really controlling and hyper-controlling my food, because so much of my life was out of control. And, like, now part of recovery in the 12 steps is, like, learning how to turn that over and learning how to let go and let God. And so I'm really grateful to have these tools. I'm grateful that I have something other than food to turn to. And it's a good reminder for me today, you know, anytime they talk about in the big book when we're feeling irritable or it's a good sign, you know, to check my faith and see where my will is. And so with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Christy D. from Oregon. Up next is Jocelyn, followed by Marie. Good morning, Jocelyn. Star one.
Hi, it's me, Jocelyn W. I'm struggling with the star one.
Oh,
goodness gracious.
Thank you.
Anyway, I'm here. It feels like I'm going down a tube when I just press star one, like it's like waiting for it to click in. Anyway, I'm so grateful to be here. And this paragraph I just love because, like, this almost childish faith, this, like, as a preschool teacher and a mama, and I've always worked with kids, and I'm a clown, and I run a circus camp. And so for me, it just is a reminder that faith can be creative and faith can be playful, and it doesn't need to be a certain way. And I love that about this program. We're invited to come up with a higher power of our own understanding. And when I'm reminded that it can be childish in a way that's like, you know, that deep belief and that deep trust is so beautiful. And just to really remember that it can be creative and playful brings light into my faith, because, man, this disease is dark and depressing and awful. And I just, lately, I've just been really trying to allow my faith to be playful because and creative. Because it just helps bring some delight into my life. So just trying to get crafty and artsy, as well as keep up with my circus stuff, as well as my reading and writing and meetings and all kind of, you know, the tools that we're invited to use. So, yeah, that's kind of just what I wanted to share. And, that's all I have for today. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Jocelyn W. from British Columbia. And up next, we have Maria C. After Maria, I will be able to take some more names to share on this paragraph. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. Hello, everybody. My name is Maria C. in Los Angeles. I'm a compulsive overeater, sugar addict, and 100-pounder. I'm very excited to be here. Today's a holiday from work, so I get to dial in. I think, you know, that phrase, I'm going to talk about that same phrase, the almost childlike innocence, and, you know, what that looked like for me when I finally finally was ready to take step one and truly admit that I was powerless. Because for me, you know, that childlike faith is, you know, one synonym is trust. You know, I was scared. I was so scared to take step two. I was scared to believe in a higher power, just to find out that the higher power would say, no, not you. You don't get the recovery that everybody else has. Like that, for me, the childlike faith was learning to dive in anyway and, you know, not listening to the voice in my head that said, you know, you're less than everyone else. You can't do this. God doesn't love you. You know, I had some really deep fears and just had to dive in and act as if and come up with a conception of a higher power who maybe loved me just as much as he loved everybody else in these rooms, that maybe it was possible, that maybe I could be loved and I could have recovery. And, you know, talk about like a fate, like faith in the ability to fly, like that is really what recovery feels like, that I'm just flying through life. You know, what I thought I was looking for was just not to be morbidly obese. You know, acid reflux wouldn't make me lose my voice. And like, you know, maybe I could, you know, have some more success at work. And just almost 2 years later, my life is completely different. My relationships are different. Is different. How I just, I'm down 140 pounds. I didn't think that was possible even with OA. I thought that was crazy. And I believe in a higher power who loves me. And that's the like craziest thing of all, because I spent the first couple decades of my life thinking that that was impossible. And all it took was just really being desperate, desperate enough to actually finally take step one. So thank you, everybody, for listening. I hope everyone has a great morning.
Thank you very much, Maria C. from California. Let me remind everybody where we are. We're in We Agnostics, page 52, the fourth paragraph down, the Wright brothers' almost childish faith, through one paragraph ending with the Wrights would never fly. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to take a stab at this paragraph? The shares have been great so far. Thank you.
Carly V.
Carly V.
Yes, thank you.
Gotcha.
Trudy B.
Trudy B?
Yeah, Trudy B.
I got you. Trudy, thank you.
Reggie O.
Reggie. Hi, Reggie.
Hi.
Reggie O. We have Carly V, Trudy B, and Reggie O. Anyone else in this lineup? Okay, we'll stop there and we'll get started.
Nick F.
Everybody, who was that?
Nick F. in Tennessee.
Okay, hi, Nick. Nick F. Finally got it right. All right, so I have Carly V., Trudy B., Reggie O., and Nick F. Everyone mute except Carly. Good morning, Carly.
Thanks. Good morning, Mo. Yes, this is Carly V. I'm a compulsive overeater. Thanks for the opportunity to share today and everyone who shared so far. I just really appreciate these meetings. Kind of what I was thinking about when I heard this paragraph was just little children, babies, and just how they are totally surrendered and reliant on their, you know, surrendered to the higher power, I guess, of their parents and their caregivers. They just have to be. They don't, you know much, don't have the strength, the physical ability, all the experiences yet to, you know, to be different than that when they first come into this world. They're just totally surrendered and reliant. And then as you get older, you know, you physically, you know, develop, you can physically do more, and then you have experiences socially, other experiences. So you start to learn things and learn also just how the physical world works, like with science. And so you can explain more. and you can do more and more on your own, and that like self-sufficiency develops, and some of that's, you know, a good thing, because you get those abilities and you can impact the world around you more, or, you know, in different ways. And you can be a caregiver, for example, for others, that for little ones or older people, or, you know, you could be in that caregiver position as you get older and older too, where the little babies can't do that. So that was coming into my mind. But kind of that trajectory is you go from this place of surrender and open-mindedness to, you know, more and more self-sufficiency, and ultimately, at least I did, closed-mindedness, just from my experiences and what I thought I knew. And then just really cut me off, for me personally, my experience cut me off from that surrender to a higher power. And even though I believed in a God, you know, I was still trying to do things way too much on my own. And I was still wanted to understand everything. And I guess one thing that I struggle with, and it's helped me helped me to be aware of in the program, is that I can't understand God. Like, God is, and thank goodness, because God is so much bigger than me. And if the world just worked according to my understandings, you know, I mean, I guess it would look like what I looked like in my disease, which was, you know, not good at all, isolated and conflict and in the food. And I didn't have solutions that worked for me. But God is so much bigger than that. And I don't have to understand everything about God and how things work. I just have to, you know, take small steps every day in that direction of connecting with higher power and wanting to learn more and wanting to do God's will, higher power's will. And then higher power just does the rest, and that power comes in. I was thinking about that too with the Wright brothers, how they had this little idea and they didn't totally understand probably how it was, you know, I'm sure how it was going to work out or how it was going to go, but they had this little inspired idea, and then like what big comes out of it. But if they had stopped with, because they didn't understand everything too, that wouldn't happen. So, okay. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Where are you calling from, Carly?
I'm from Michigan. Thank you.
Michigan. Mo. All right. Thank you. Thank you. So up next is Trudy B, followed by Reggie O. Let me know where you're calling from when you get on the line. Star 1, Trudy, to unmute your phone.
Thank you. This is Trudy B. I'm calling from Maryland. Real grateful to be here today. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, very clearly. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay. I guess I'm having Star 1 trouble too. I thought I was unmuted. But I'm real happy to be here today, and you know, I just love these vision meetings, I tell you the truth. And, you know, the thing about that this chapter, this whole chapter, is like, when I said, well, you know, I can just skip this one. I don't really need this one. I've always believed in God. But, I mean, this is a wonderful chapter because it really hits the nail right on the head for me. How little trust I had in anything taking over my life. I come from a very dysfunctional background. So I couldn't afford to have, you know, no higher power, no God, no Father, nothing really 100% take over my life. You know, but this morning I got up and, you know, I was feeling sort of down, sort of like depressed. And I was like, well, what in the heck is going on? It's something that I didn't want to turn over to my higher power. Whenever I start feeling out of sorts, that's because I'm trying to have my will be done. Something is going on that I have not accepted. I'm trying to run away from something I don't want to do or don't want to confront or that is going on, and I have no control over it. I don't manage it anymore. So I was like, you know, when I came in and read this about the Wright brothers, you know, anytime you can put something in the air and it can, you know, you can figure out, keep on thinking of it, it is flying in the sky like all the airplanes stuff flying around. there has to be a higher power even in that. I don't believe they could have did that without God being in charge of something. So, you know, it's like the very essence of my being wants to just start screaming and hollering when I get afraid about something. But that's what God is for. That's what God needs to take over. I don't need to be standing in trying to do something. I just need to turn this stuff over to God and let God handle it. And that's why my insides is crying out, because I don't want to do that because I'm afraid. And I just needed to say that this morning. And loving this little paragraph about the Wright brothers, just loving it. So that is me today. I just have to have that faith that, you know, even if my wings can't sprout and fly, God is more than able. I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Perfect timing. Thank you very much. That was Trudy B. from Maryland. Up next is Reggie O., followed by Nick F. Good morning, Reggie.
Hey, good morning, Mo. So good to hear you. I was thinking about you over this weekend, and here you are. So good to hear you. Good to be on the meeting with everybody. And I'm really gratefully recovered here in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene in Georgia. And I remember maybe it was the first time I read this paragraph, really read it. And around the same time, I came across this article. The scientific article that said that bumblebees are aerodynamically incapable of flying, but they fly. And I see bumblebees out in the flowers in front of the house where I am on a regular basis, and I always think about that. These bumblebees are aerodynamically incapable of flying, and they fly. And that to me says a lot about God. And but I had this amazing experience yesterday. This is a this is a very big anniversary season for me. You know, that was around a great loss in my life that this impacted my life for many, 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 many years. And over the course of the past few days, things just seem to happen, and opportunities seem to come up. But I was scheduled to do this presentation yesterday for this group, a salon for, you know, spiritually creative living out in California. And it was to be done on Zoom. And it was really an honor to have been invited to do this. And I was, you know, preparing for this and preparing for that. Then the hurricane came, and we had no power at times. We had no water at times. And just before yesterday, I guess it was a couple of days before yesterday, the internet went out. So I had no computer to do the Zoom. And I was kind of beside myself, you know. I forgot, you know, everything is about trusting and relying on God. But I it was a spiritual message, and I prayed, and I think I was trusting and relying on myself a lot. And on the run through Saturday, I actually was given I could just not do it if I wanted to, because I'd sent some information in, and the woman said they would give, you know, they would just discuss these points, etc. And then she asked me about this story in my life, and I told her, and she was amazed, and her birthday was a part of it, the timing of this salon was a part of it, and so was the theme. And so just before yesterday, I had decided I was going to not go on. I called someone, and all of us in the midst of nowhere, I was made the decision to go through with something in a way that I've never done it before. And I had to truly had to surrender. And honestly, and this is not me, this was totally God, because I was sitting down. I don't like to present and talk sitting down. I was, you know, hooked to my computer, and it was and it really, I'll just say that it flowed. And it was probably one of the best God-given spiritual presentations I've ever given. And it was amazing.
Oh, thank you so much, Reggio from Texas. Up next is Nick F. And after Nick, I'll be able to take some more people to share. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, family. I'm Nick F., recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee. You know, my heart kind of heavy this morning, but when I read this, the idea that self-sufficiency would solve our problems, I'm going to just be 1,000% honest with y'all. I kind of got hit in the throat. I used to be a real big rager. Like, I'm talking about throwing toasters and flipping over furniture and hitting people in the back. You know, and some of that activity was in psych wards. I knew I could get away with it. But let me tell you something. I have my own testimony, and I can look back. Like, I like looking at the Wright brothers and their ideas, but I can look back at my own life and see the power of God. This morning, my 13-year-old, he stole some money out of my purse. And when I gave him a hug, these events happened kind of at the same moment, like I didn't get a chance to put two and two right away. He smelled like marijuana. Me, the rager, used to be. You know, just thank God, because I don't think they would have let me dial this number from prison. And that's my old self, my alcoholic, my addicted self. I would be in jail this morning, you know. But I'm not. I'm sitting here. I'm calm. I have my breakfast to the side of me. Like, I'm free of nicotine. I didn't go and get a, you know, hard for me to think about him not smoking, and I've got to go light up a Black and Mild or a cigarette or something. But I'm free from nicotine. Like, God has changed my life. Just get to feel my heavy heart. Back when I was first getting abstinent, I can remember listening to Harlan say, I feel better, you know. I feel better now. I feel pain better. I feel joy better. I feel like I want to rip somebody's head off better, but I don't have to, you know. So much has changed. And even in the midst of my heavy heart right now, you know, the ability, like it was said, you know, when that one lady said, I didn't even think that was possible to lose that much weight in OA. You know, I bust out laughing. And then the lady sharing about coming off the line, the going down a tunnel when you press star one, I was able to laugh. You know, I could feel my feelings today. But let me tell you about this self-sufficiency. On my car ride to work, I thought about, you know, I'm not going to tell nobody about what's going on with my son. I'm going to keep this to myself. I'm going to pray real hard. Maybe I'll drop him off somewhere. You know, I'm going to figure this out. And then when I read this, it reminded me, you know, if I was never still telling nobody what I was eating, how I was eating, the shame, the self-hate, I would still be sitting in that spot. But I thank God today I was able to send a text to his dad, send a text to his boxing coach, send a text to his mentor, send a text to his other boxing coach. Like, I do not have to handle life by myself. And the moment that I think I do, I get in trouble, you know. So I'm just grateful for this. I'm grateful for this line, and I'm grateful for you all's service. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Hey, thank you very much, Nick F. from Tennessee. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share? We have time for maybe three or maybe four more shares.
Me.
Who was that?
Metris J from Michigan.
Okay, gotcha, Metris.
Janice K, Oregon.
Janice K. Oregon, thank you.
Pamela R. B., Michigan.
Pamela R. B.
B. J. Cat C., Ohio.
Who was that?
B. J. P. from Ohio.
Okay. I hope I can get to you from Ohio. All right, everybody else mute your line, and we will start with Metris J. from Michigan, I think you said.
Yes, from Michigan. Thank you. Thanks for your service. Very glad to be here. what came to mind for me when it comes to the Wright brothers is that they stepped out on faith. Faith is things that is unseen. And even when things was all around them telling them, you can't do that, the naysayers, them not understanding what they were doing anyway, but they believed. That was the difference. With all of that, stepping out on faith, things unseen, the naysayers, they kept believing. And that's how they were able to do the impossible. And that's what God does. God does the impossible. And I have to step out on faith and to believe that. I have to believe that God can, my compulsive overeating. Now, everything around it says, you know, I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm going to always be. But with God and stepping out on faith and believing, all things are possible. And this big book tells me how I get to that point. It is a step-by-step guideline on how I believe in a power greater than myself, which is God for me. Am I going to do that perfectly? No, because I'm human. I'm not going to do and work this program perfectly. And I know that. I'm not kidding myself anymore. But with God, all things being possible, God will do for me what I cannot do for myself if I only believe. Now, believing comes with action. I cannot believe and not take the action because nothing will amount to it. I have to step out and believe. So therefore, I work this program to the best of my ability. And today, I will believe. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Mitris J. from Missouri. Janice K. from Oregon, you're up next. Good morning, Janice. Press star 1 to unmute your phone.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. We were talking about childish faith and the fact that in infancy, we rely on our trustworthy parents to take care of us. And that's how we learn to establish trust in God. We can trust our parents. We can trust God. I would like to suggest that if you have had a treasured infancy and childhood, you have been quite blessed because there are those of us out there who took entirely different lessons from what might be termed pre-verbal life. And it is pre-verbal. So I don't know how real what I'm going to say is. But we do learn in those first 3 to 4 years certain emotional stances toward life. How safe is the world? Are we safe living in the world or are we not? If those parents are not always reliable or if they are chronically depressed or angry, we pick up an entirely different message from the wanted and beloved child. What do I have to do to survive? I think a lot of our I'm not good enough stuff and perhaps some of our perfectionism and that horrible need to always look good starts at ages before age 5. I think for an adult from that background to trust God is not a childish faith. It is a reasoned, mature adult decision to believe in something different, to say, I have tried this the way I was taught, and it didn't work. They talk about the God idea. This is where we try the God idea. Thank you for listening, I pass.
Thank you very much, Janice K. from Oregon. Up next is Pamela R.B. And if there's time, I'll get the person who called in from Ohio. Good morning, Pamela.
Good morning, Mo. It's been a long minute or two. So grateful to be here. I'm Pamela, a compulsive overeater, recovered just for today. Wow, wow, wow. I guess I can summarize it quickly to say they went from self-sufficiency, or we go, let me put it this way. I went from self-sufficiency to God's sufficiency. What a big leap for me, see, because, you know, again, many of my issues are derived around abandonment. And so I sought solace in the food. The food would give me. Food would not abandon me. See, I grew up in an environment where sometimes there was scarcity. And so abandonment was the thing that I had trust and faith in. And so my self-sufficiency was, I will never, ever be abandoned again. That's the way I thought. And so coming into this program has really, it's been transformative for me. I have had what we call a transformation of body, mind, and spirit that has just been phenomenal. So here I sit here in Michigan with my foot elevated. I broke it about a month ago. But prior to breaking my foot on that Saturday, I was with my friend, and he had just gotten out the hospital with pneumonia. And I had been with him for a week. And I saw that, you know, pretty much he just didn't want to do anything, absolutely nothing. So I said to him, I said, looks like there's nothing I can do here, so I'm going to head home. Okay, that was a Friday. So I left and I went home. The very next day, I'm in the gym. I take a flip, and my foot went left and my bones went right, broke my ankle. So now, fast forward, next day, I call him and I say, hey, here's what happened. And here's how I saw that. When he didn't want to get up and move, God said, you're going to have to move now because she needs you. And he was right there, right there. And little did he know, for me, the way I saw it was, that was God saying, well, you may not get him to move in the way that you want him to move, but let me show you how I can get him to move. And he's been here ever since, taking care of me now. Wow, what a gift this program gives me when I'm of sound mind, a body, and spirit. I love this program. It's given me so much. And I just pray for those who have any kind of doubt about this, trust your faith, be honest, and work the program. Thanks so much. I'm Pamela, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Pamela B. from Michigan. I am not able to get to the person who called in from Ohio, but maybe tomorrow, okay? All right. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Jody E. please read A Vision for You?
Good morning, everybody. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation, what can you do each day for the man who is still sick? The answers will come if your own house is in order. but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.